is we look at the wise men, part two of this. We began to look at the wise men, maybe considering some things that maybe we hadn't considered before. But tonight we're looking at their humility in part, and just how we too should be like the wise men and seeking the Lord in humility. So Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Okay, and Brother John, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." But we saw last Wednesday night at prayer meeting, number one, that the wise men went to the wrong city. So many times as we read this story, we might think that these men were wise scripturally. In other words, that they knew the scripture really well. But what we find here is that they did not know what city to go to, and they did not know that the scriptures even told what city Jesus was going to be born in. So that's kind of a little surprise to us. But we looked at that, first of all. They went to the wrong city. But number two, we looked at the wise men seemed to be asking everyone but God where Jesus was going to be born. Now, that was a little surprising because we would normally think of, with spiritually wise men, we would think of that they would be great men of prayer, always going to the Lord first and spending much time in prayer. But surprisingly, we saw that that was not the case here because they're asking, where is he? Verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? In verse 3 there it says, "Then when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So these wise men had come to Jerusalem. They were asking where Jesus was born. They did not know. And they were asking a lot of people, because not only Herod the king was troubled, but it says, "And all Jerusalem with him." So they were asking a lot of people questions. But here is one point that is good for us to think about. The wise men were not afraid to admit they didn't know the answer. They were not afraid. And so we commend them for their humility here. The wise men were humble. They were asking others. Can you imagine how humbling it would be for a wise person to have to ask someone else a question? But we'll get to that in a few minutes here. But then we saw number three, these wise men did not even seem to know to go to the priest to get their question answered. But wicked King Herod knew that. Verse 3, once again, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered," who? "All the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." So we saw this Wednesday night. So these wise men were getting more and more now, okay, they did not know the scripture that told where he was born. We didn't see them going to the temple to pray. We see them asking other people. It was not even them that went to the priest. I mean, normally we might think, okay, well, if we have a Bible question, we'll read the Bible, we'll pray, and if we can't figure it out, we'll ask someone, maybe in the ministry in some fashion. We'll ask them, okay, well, do you know the answer to this question? But the wise men didn't even do that. They didn't think to ask the priest, but Herod did. If you hold your place here, notice with me Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. Malachi 2, 7. The Bible says in Malachi 2, 7, for who? The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should what? Seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So this is kind of just general biblical knowledge that, well, if you have a question, then go to the priest. If he doesn't know, you know, he'll find out. But the wise men didn't do that. What we find is wicked King Herod, he knew that. He knew this question, you know what? The priests and scribes will know. They'll know the answer to this. The wise men evidently didn't think about that. And then we saw number four, that the wise men were sent by Herod to the right place to find baby Jesus because they still didn't know. Look in verse 7. Verse 7 of Matthew 2, 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And what? He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So we find wicked King Herod, the wicked king that is going to decree that all the baby boys be killed because the wise men never came back. So it's the same wicked King Herod that sends them to the right place, the right city, to find the baby Jesus. And then we saw in verses 9 through 12 that the star then guided them. Many times we don't carefully read and we think, well, the star just guided them right to Bethlehem, but that was not the case. The star in the east got their attention, but they went to the wrong city. They went to Jerusalem. And it was at Jerusalem where they were given the word of God. And then after that, we saw, is when the star moved. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding... verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, what? Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So the star did not move until after the scriptures were consulted. And that's what we saw Wednesday night too. We need to be so careful, not only finishing out this year, but entering the new year, that we don't let just circumstances lead us, but the scripture. The scripture. God would not let these wise men find the baby Jesus without the scripture being consulted. And so whatever question we have in our lives, some decision we need to make, we need to make sure that we are reading the Word of God as we close out this year and as we enter the new year. And then we saw, too, that number six was that these wise men were actually wiser than the people who knew the Scripture. You may say, well, I don't understand that. They didn't know to go to Bethlehem until the priests and the scribes were consulted. And they knew Micah 5, 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though there'll be little among of Judah. Oh, I messed it up there. Let me go there. Micah 5, 2. Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. That's what they quoted, but then we looked at, they didn't quote the next part, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So those who knew the scripture knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but those Jewish priests and scribes did not realize that Jesus was going to be God in the flesh, because it says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So in that sense, the wise men were wiser than the people who knew the scriptures in that regard, because they came, notice back in Matthew 2 and verse 2, Matthew 2 verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? To worship him." They were convinced that this was God in the flesh. They were convinced that this was the one to worship, because they came prepared to do that, prepared to worship him. So in that regard, and as we saw, let's just back up to Numbers 24:17. Where did they ever get the idea that there was going to be a special star over this special one who would rule and reign? Well, we only see one instance in Scripture where it's referred to, and that was by, as we saw Wednesday night, it was by another man out of the east. Remember, these wise men in Matthew 2 were coming out of the east. Numbers 24:17, Balaam also was from the east. And in Numbers 24:17, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a what? A star out of Jacob." And remember, notice that star is capitalized. "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." The kings had scepters. "And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." So these wise men knew. And isn't it strange? These wise men were wiser than the priests and the scribes in this sense. The chief priests and the scribes did not accept Jesus when he came. And yet these wise men saw this star that was prophesied to arise, and they came prepared to worship this one. Just like we saw Wednesday night in the New Testament, where the unbelieving Jews were afraid that Jesus was going to rise from the dead like he said he was going to. But the disciples themselves, they didn't catch it at all. And so what we find is these wise men are basing what they did on one powerful prophecy. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment, how we can apply that to our lives. So the point I want to make is they were not just coming to check out this one. You know, like the Queen of Sheba came to check out Solomon. We'll be seeing that in a moment. These wise men were coming to worship this one. So they saw something the Jews did. And I wonder, as we just pause to meditate on that, how many things do even unsaved people see that we as Christians sometimes don't? Might they see something, and I'm thinking about, you know, what about the way we live? What about the things that we do? Would an unsaved person say, a Christian shouldn't do that? Christian shouldn't live that way. A Christian shouldn't do that thing. It's sad, isn't it? Sometimes unsaved people have a higher standard of what Christians ought to be than Christians themselves, because we are not in the Word as we should be. So despite these wise men, despite their ignorance of the Scripture telling where he was going to be born, despite their ignorance of even going to the temple to pray. Wednesday night we saw that all nations would know that the temple was a place to come and pray, but we do not one time see the wise men coming to the temple. I mean, they didn't come to Jerusalem to go to the temple and just to pray, you know, to God, well, where is he born? We don't see them doing that once. We don't see them going to the priest. What we find is the wise men having to be told by a wicked, unsaved king where to go to find him. But they came to worship the Lord, fully understanding that aspect of it. But let's go then to Psalm 105. And what we can see, and wise men still seek the Lord. So what can we also learn from their lives? In Psalm 105, verse 3. Psalm 105, 3. The Bible says, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that what? Seek the Lord." Verse 4 says what? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. You know, there are some people that say that an unsaved person cannot seek the Lord, that it's impossible for an unsaved person to do. Well, that is not the case. Cornelius was unsaved, but he was seeking the Lord. The Canaanite woman was seeking the Lord. She wasn't saved yet. She was ready, just willing, just for the crumbs. She was seeking the Lord. Many in the Scriptures seek the Lord. That idea that man is so depraved that he cannot even seek the Lord, that's an idea of Calvinism, and that is false. Is man depraved? Yes. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know them? But that does not mean that we do not have the ability to seek the Lord. There are many instances in the New Testament where demon-possessed people come running to Jesus, seeking him. So what we find is that the devil is not strong enough to stop people from seeking Christ. The demons are not strong enough to keep people from fleeing to Christ. And so man does have the will to come. Man does have the will to seek the Lord. And so the wise men were doing that, like Cornelius was seeking him. They were seeking him. Notice in Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6. So we should be like the wise men seeking the Lord. Isaiah 55, 6. What does it say? Seek ye the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. If God tells us to do something that it is not possible for us to do, wouldn't that be sin on his part? If God gives us a command to do something, there's no way we can do it, isn't that being totally unfair? Well, if you're treating someone totally unfair, that is sinful. If I were to ask you to, well, if I were to command you tonight to pick up this building, wouldn't that be a little unfair? Or, I'll make it a little easier, not really much, but if I were to command you to pick up my car and carry it somewhere. When I was a boy, there was some mischievous teenagers in the church, and a man in the church had a Volkswagen Beetle, and I guess they kind of had it in for that man. And so some of those teenagers picked up that Volkswagen Beetle and set it someplace where I think it was impossible to drive out of. So that isn't very nice to do. But one man can't pick up a Volkswagen. So when the Lord says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near," if God tells us to seek him, it is possible for us to do. And the wise men were doing that, and that's what we need to do in this coming year, Lord willing. And then back in Matthew 2, the wise men also show us the trait of humility, the trait of humility which we should practice. In Matthew 2 and verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying," what? "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. I mentioned this just a moment ago. These wise men were asking a question. Now, if you are considered a wise man or a wise woman or a wise boy or a wise girl, wouldn't it be kind of humiliating to have to ask a question? You know, if you are wise in math, wouldn't it be kind of humiliating to have to ask someone else how to figure out a problem? If you are wise in science, wouldn't it be humiliating to have to ask someone a question about science? If you are an expert in English, wouldn't it be humiliating to have to ask someone what the subject and verb are in a sentence? No, you'd try to hide the fact. You'd try to disguise it. Like you'd try to pose a question as if someone else were asking, maybe. You know, like, what would you tell someone about this sentence if they were to say, what's the subject and what's the verb? You know, to try to make it so, you know, like it wasn't really you asking the question. But the wise men here, they come right out. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. This took a lot of humility, and this should be like us in this regard. We should be humble. We have not arrived. We don't know at all. Notice with me in 1 Kings 10, I mentioned the Queen of Sheba. Notice the difference here in 1 Kings 10 and verse 1. 1 Kings 10 and verse 1. She was coming to Solomon with something on her mind. 1 Kings 10, 1. But when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to what? To prove him with what? Hard question. She was determined. She knew the answer. But she was determined to test him with hard questions. And he needed to know the answer. But you go back to Matthew 2. These were wise men, and they readily admitted they did not know the answer. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Notice with me in James 4 and verse 10. James 4 and verse 10. The wise men readily admitted they did not know the answer. James 4:10. What's the first word? Humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. You know, that is exactly why Solomon got all the wisdom that he received, by putting that biblical principle to practice. Let's go back to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. Who wouldn't want to be the wisest man on earth like Solomon was? But how did he get in that position? Well, it wasn't because he had a photographic memory as just a little tyke. That wasn't how he got so smart. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And remember, verse 5, this was in a what? Dream by night. Have you ever had a crazy dream? This was in a dream, God saying, ask what I shall give thee. I mean, this is really what is upon Solomon's heart. Verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, a great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am what? But a little child. He's a grown man. But God comes, what do you want, Solomon? Well, God, the fact of the matter is I'm but a little child. Then he goes on to say, I know not how to what? Go out or come in. Solomon, you don't know the way out? Well, Solomon would indeed have a huge place. But he's saying to the Lord, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Talk about humility. I mean, a little child can get lost. Like, how do I get out of here? But what humility. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech, what? Pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So, how did Solomon get so wise? How did he get so wealthy? It all started with, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. It started with humility. And that is one commendable thing back in Matthew chapter 2 that we see about these wise men was their humility. A person that is known as a wise man, it'd be very humbling to have to ask someone else the question. But they did, and it was revealed to them. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah 9. So wise men still seek Him, still seek the Lord. Let us be like the wise men in that humility factor. In Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in what? His wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in what? His might. Let not the rich man glory in what? His riches. So, verse 23, a wise man, don't glory in your wisdom. A mighty man, don't glory in your strength. A rich man, don't glory in your wealth. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and what? Knoweth me. That is where the wise men were wiser than even the people who knew these other questions, because they came to worship. They came in faith. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what I want to do in my life the rest of this year. I want to delight the Lord. And that's so it's exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. I want to delight. I want to give Him delight. And so the wise men, the wise people in our day still do seek Him. As Brother Steve, I believe, preached about it at, Green Acres. Or no, yeah. Were you at Halfway? Okay. That's right, Hathaway Hills. About Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the spirit in which the wise men came. They were ignorant in many ways, spiritual ways. They were ignorant, but they were not ignorant in that they were coming in faith to worship this one. And they were humble along the way. And may we close out this year in that same humility, being humble but rich in faith, strong in faith, not doubting, but strong in faith. Just like the wise men, when they set out, they came to worship. They had no doubt that they were going to find this one. And I pray that as we close out this year and the year to come, may we proceed in that same humility and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for these wise men, that even though they had such a lofty title, they were humble. They knew that they didn't know it all. In fact, many things that many of the Jews knew, these wise men didn't. And yet, these wise men found Jesus. And the people that thought they were wise did not. They rejected Christ. They rejected that he was God in the flesh. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to be as the wise men and still seek Jesus. Please help us, Lord, to please you in the couple of days that remain of this year and in the year to come. Lord, we, like Solomon confessed, we are but children. We know not how to go out or to come in. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We need your help. Lord, please bless and use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.